Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
I don't know how tonight's going to go. I got the pastor's shoes on, which, you know, has been preached a lot in. And I also have a zip-up tie on, so it could either go really good or really cheap. One or the other. Tonight I'm going to be talking about a blinding light. I'm going to start in John 8 and 12. John 8 and 12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Dear Lord, I want to thank you for this service, Lord. I want to thank you for the testimonies, Lord, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to worship you, God. God, I just ask you, Lord, for your presence to be here, Lord, to use me as your mouthpiece, God, and let Dustin get out of the way. Lord, thank you for this sermon. May I speak it the way you gave it to me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. that's not the actual verse that I'm going to be reading right away, but I know y'all had to stand the whole time during worship, and I love people, and I'm compassionate, so I thought I would read a short verse to get y'all to sit down quick. So that was kind of me just thinking of y'all. That is a verse that I will be using, but it's later on in my sermon. So that was just my heart out to y'all. Man, it's funny. Who here, with a show of hands, has ever been around like a really, really bright light? Who here, when I was a kid, they looked at the sun? Who here tried to look at the sun without any protection when the eclipse came? All right, I'm going to amplify it a little bit. Who here has been around welding? Like, you know, how they bond metal together? All right, man, welding's wild because it's such a bright light that it's funny. When you're on a high wall miner, it's in the summer, it's 95 degrees. The pit's black, so that amplifies the heat. You're wearing a T-shirt. You're not wearing any type of protection. And if you weld for 5 minutes and you ain't tan, well, you're going to be burnt. It is a very, very bright light that it produces. So much so that if you actually look at it without the right protective lens, it'll mess your eyes up. And I can testify to this. I was welding one night on a cutter drum, and there was a guy behind me welding too. Somebody wasn't doing very good at their job, wasn't paying attention to their amps, and made the head slick, and the head's supposed to have teeth. It ain't supposed to be gummy. It's supposed to be filled with teeth to cut coal. And we were both welding, and we had our backs to each other. And I didn't expect the light to be bouncing off my lens and hitting my eyes. And I didn't think nothing about it. Finished the shift. Damon and I rode home. I went to bed. Thank God for Siri. I woke up. I was young. I was like 21 years old. I woke up. Couldn't see directly, like what was in front of me. It was like a blur. My peripheral was a little bit there, but wasn't quite there. It was painful. It's one thing to be blind, but it's another thing to be blind and in pain. And I actually called my grandma using Siri. She brought me potatoes. Potatoes. This is true. This is real life. This is a wise tale that was tested and factually true because I'm testifying that this is my testimony. If you have arc burn in your eyes from a welder, and you slice it up and put potatoes on your eyes, in 30 minutes, the pain's gone. You're still a little bit blind, but the pain is completely gone. And it's crazy because if you look at the potatoes, well, if you can kind of look at the potatoes because you're kind of blind still, it brings out this like black substance in your eyes. And it's a very, I don't know, just thought that was cool. But I'm going to be preaching about a blinding light, and I'm excited to get into it. Shane, take me to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Catch you up with what's going on in Acts chapter 9. Jesus has done ascended to the right hand of the Father. The church had started because they were all the apostles and disciples got together and tarried and was endued with power by the Holy Ghost. The church started to explode. People started getting saved and they started gaining some traction. And this comes to about where we're at now in verse 9. The Apostle Paul has not been converted to a Christian yet. And this is kind of his conversion story. Chapter 9, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. Starting at 1. Yeah, thank you. Shane, you're supposed to take your time to help my help me get my thoughts together. Not be that quick. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he find any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul was not sexist. He persecuted men and women. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and he suddenly there shined round about a light from heaven. So the light was coming from the sky. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, wilt thou have what thou wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were was opened, he saw no man, but they led him by hand and brought him into Damascus. To give you some background on Saul slash Paul, you first kind of hear about him in the book of Acts, in the first martyr of the New Testament, of a guy named Stephen. He was preaching Christ and Christ crucified, and talking to the Jewish leadership at the time and how they were responsible for it. And they didn't like that information, and they didn't like the gospel that he was preaching. So they took up stones, which was illegal at this time because Roman law, they didn't have this right to do anymore. So they was breaking the law by doing it. But they took up stones, and they actually stoned Stephen. And Paul was there because he collected their coats. The Bible lets us know that he was holding their coats. So I tell you that to tell you, if you have any teenagers, Paul would not be somebody you'd want your teenagers to hang out with because he was kind of an advocate for stoners. In all seriousness, though, he really was an accessory to murder, so I probably would not want my kids to hang out with him at this time. He was a pretty intelligent guy. He came from a very he came from wealth, most scholars think, because he was not only well studied in the Old Testament, but he was very studied in Greek literature. He could read in Hebrew and Greek, most scholars agree on, and some say he could read in Latin. I don't know. I'm not a scholar. I'm just a coal miner trying to proclaim the word of God, but he was a very intelligent guy. He was a Roman citizen. We will learn more in the book of Acts. His Roman citizenship would get him out of situations that preaching the gospel kind of put him in. He could use that to his benefit because he had the right to a fair trial, and the Romans kind of would honor that in spite of what the Jewish culture was pushing for and all of that. But he was also a hardcore Orthodox Jew before he was converted. He was all about the Old Testament. He did not believe in Christ, but he was still a very God-fearing man. He wanted to do what he saw right in the eyes of God. And I think that's what's important here, is because, man, he was literally trying to leave Jerusalem, go out and persecute these people, because he thought they were leading them away from truth. He thought they were leading them away from God. He was passionate about this. He was very against this Christian cult that was starting to spring up because he thought it was a lie. He thought it was of the enemy. And he wanted to do something about it. But above all else, like I said, he was a God-fearing man. He wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God. In Acts 22, verses 9 through 11. Acts 22, verses 9 through 11. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go to Damascus, and there it shall be thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. It's funny, just, I try to visualize what I'm reading. I like to kind of like paint a mental picture instead of just reading words and trying to, because if you're not putting a picture in your head while you're reading, then I don't think you're reading right, because I feel like that's what reading's there for. But the way I read this story is Paul sees he hears a noise and sees a light. And the Bible says that he falls to the ground. So he's at the ground and he's looking up because he's looking at the light and listening to the words. And he couldn't take his light, he couldn't take his eyes off the light, because it had just completely encaptured him. He couldn't get his eyes off of it because there was something so brilliant about it, something so divine, something that he had never got to experience before, that he did not want to take his eyes off of this light. He was very into the moment, so much so that I think the people around him didn't get blinded and had to be led by Damascus, because I think it scared him. I mean, if you see a bright light, normally you turn your head, right? Then you got Paul just like, oh, man. But I imagine his buddies cowering away and looking away, because it says that they could hear and they seen, but they didn't see no man and they didn't hear what the voice said. So that's just the scene that I got painted in my head, that Paul did not want to take his eyes off the light. In a different translation, verse 22 and 11 reads, they ain't got this on the screen because I didn't tell them the translation, so y'all just have to trust me. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. The brilliance of the light had blinded me. Man, if we can get this imagery that there was something so just beautiful about this light, there was just something so intense about this light that Paul could not take his eyes off of it. All the knowledge that he knew, all the foreknowledge that he knew, all the words that he thought he knew, all the persecution that he was bringing against God's people came to a halt when Jesus started speaking to him and he seen it clearly. When he realized how glorious the gospel was, it began to blind him. He couldn't see nothing else. Even if he looked to the left, he couldn't see. If he looked to the right, all he could see was how glory the light was. You could say he was enamored by the light. I used the word properly. On the second account in chapter 22, Paul is a big time Christian now. He's been shipwrecked. He's been shipwrecked multiple times. He's been stoned and left for dead. He's preached people out of windows. He's done a lot of things to this point. He's a very well-known character, so much so that in this scene, they're trying to persecute. This is right before he gets put on house arrest and has to appeal to Caesar, but they're trying to stone him again. There was 40 people that said they would not eat or drink until Paul was dead. They wanted to kill Paul because Paul had seen the light. He could not be persuaded. He could not be denied. He could not be, there is no other thing that he could tell you is, but that he's seen the light. He's seen the truth. His reality changed. The dimension he lived in changed. Everything about Saul changed, so much so that they had to start calling him Paul. Oh, he had a revelation, church. Amen. He's seen the brilliance of the light. I got an illustration. This is a big, big sermon for me. I've never had a prop, so I don't know how it's going to go. This is the brightest thing I have. I wanted to bring a welder in here to really try to, but I know a lot of people's praying for revival in the church catch fire, but I don't think a literal fire in the church house is what they want, so I don't feel like pastor would have let me, so I didn't shoot my shot and asked him. I just brought this. This is a DeWalt flashlight. If you don't like DeWalt or own DeWalt, you're probably not a Christian, so this sermon ain't for you. I'm kidding. I can't say that. I'm a hypocrite. I use Milwaukee Tools because Milwaukee Tools hold up better, so I don't know what side of the fence I'm on. But this is a very bright light. This is the brightest light I could find. I'm going to shout out y'all just to see who's awake. Man, I better not shine that too long. That shows makeup can't hide that bright of a light. Lord forgive me, I shouldn't make that joke. But if I was to stare at this light long enough, if I was to just gaze into it and turn away, it's crazy, I still see the light. Uh-huh. if I close my eyes and turn it back down, I still see the light. It doesn't matter. The light had such a powerful effect on my eyes. Even with my eyes open and me trying to concentrate on something, I still see the light. If we can get the revelation of how glorious the gospel of Jesus Christ and how desperately this world needs it, how it is the only thing that can save my brother, it's the only thing that can save my sister, it's the only thing that can save my mom, my dad, it's the only thing that can save our uncles, our cousins. Everybody has sinned and fell short of the glory of God and desperately needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? I'm glad you asked. I'm very good at telling this. It is that Jesus was born of a virgin. He dwelt among men and he knew no sin. And the key is he knew no sin. He was sinless. He was the spotless lamb. Yet, without a fight, he gave himself to sins and was allowed to be nailed to a cross and took the penalty. Key word is, he took the penalty of sin so that you may be made the righteousness of him. Oh, man, have you ever heard of grace and mercy? Let me tell you about grace and mercy. I heard a cool acronym for grace. I don't want to mess it up, so I got to really think of how the word of grace is spelled, because I'm not a great speller. I'm so thankful I lived in an age that my phone shows me how to spell. That is a miracle, and I'm so thankful for it. But grace, it is God's righteousness. See, I lost my thought. G-R-A. God's righteousness. There you go. That was set up. I let the elder do it because he needed glory. I say God's righteousness at Christ's expense, not God's riches, but God's righteous. Because Paul said it like this: for he that knew no sin became sin, so that you may be made the righteousness of God in him. As long as you are in God, you can be enamored with this light like I am. It's the only thing I can see. You see, when I wrestled back when I was a younger man, our coach, he was a wild guy, but he wouldn't take his medicine 2 weeks before. He was a little bit crazy and had to take crazy medicine, but he quit taking his medicine 2 weeks before states because I guess it felt like it just let him open up. And he done some wild stuff, but he always gave the same speech about having tunnel vision. The only thing you can think about, the only thing you can visualize is winning whatever you're trying to win, whatever your skill level lets you win, or whatever you thought you could win. But man, if we could just have tunnel vision on the cross, if we can just realize how powerful the preaching of the cross is, how it is not a respecter to persons, it's not a respecter of your past. No, all it does is offer you a new future, a blank slate. It offers you a new beginning. I'm here today to tell you, if we can just if we can focus in and be blinded by the glorious gospel, the light that it shines, man, we'll be changed. I'm glad you gave me the grace, man, because I forgot the word at. How do you forget at? we can't conform to this world. We can't allow it. It needs us too much. It needs us to become the sons and daughters of God and preach the gospel. It needs us to be what we were called to be. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That is not just a statement that I made. That is in your Bible. That is a promise. And I'm here today. His promises are yes and amen. It is time for the church to become the church and stop walking with its tail in between its legs, because as long as our feet are planted on Jesus, as long as our feet are on the rock, the gates of hell will not prevail. It doesn't have a chance. It don't have a prayer. I don't guess the gates of hell pray, but if it did, it don't have a chance, because my prayers, I can go straight to the throne room. I can enter the throne room boldly, is what it says. Oh, man. It's a beautiful thing to know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus. We are not to conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are to have the mind that is which in Christ Jesus. We are supposed to be so much like Jesus that people see Jesus in the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we look. Every action we do, we should be demonstrating Jesus to them. We changed our church's name based to this principle in a sense. I know we bought a hill and that was the big pull. But it's a city on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. There should be something inside of you stirring people up, wanting to know, man, what is different about that guy? Why is that guy so excited? Why is that guy so crazy about Jesus? Why is he so happy? Why does he have joy? Why does he have peace in the midst of long suffering? Why is it? What drives him? I had a pretty I guess, hard day, you could say, in a sense. I got off on time. I didn't have to work late, so that praise God to that. I told him for 3 weeks in a row that, hey, I can't work late the 11th, that Wednesday. I cannot work late. Can't do it. I got to be on. I want to get home, preach for church. So you know what? They done me good, Pastor. They let me off on time. I think it's because nothing broke down and they could afford to let me off on time. But I don't know. But hey, glory be to God. I'll testify to that. He kept the equipment running at 2 o'clock, and that's all I needed. I was out of there. But anyway, I digress. It's awesome. It's so funny when somebody says something you're preaching and they ain't a believer. But the guy I work with, a buggy chain had broke. And it had broke in a very peculiar place. It was underneath the buggy, and it was a really hard fix. And you have to use torches, which is close to a welder's brightness, but not really, because you don't have to have any really tint protection. I guess if you do it long enough, it'll mess your eyes up, but you have to do it for a while. But anyway, we were cutting it without glasses, and he came out of there, and he couldn't see. And he's like, man, he said, you have to give me a second. My eyes ain't quite adjusted to it yet. It's funny, man. We are so hard on believers when they first become to the fold. And we want to do certain things. Paul still went to Damascus. Paul didn't have a radical change instantly. He had a radical change, but he still stayed course. Now, he didn't persecute Christians. No, he had to wait there because he was blind. And Ananias had to come and pray for him, even though he didn't want to. But yet, he still went to Damascus. He was still on the path. Man, if we can just get the good news of Christ into people's spirit, if we can just get, hey, God really is alive. He is not a respecter of persons. You have access to the same God I have. This is not of me. This is not of anything I can do. I can't speak plain. I'm not the best at pronouncing words. I'm not even the best at talking for long times. My people at work might disagree with him, but my wife won't. My wife talks the most when we're at the house because she won't let me talk. I didn't think I was going to be a preacher. I didn't expect this. But I guess if you hang around with Damon and he's your best friend for a couple years, I guess that's you are who you hang around with, they say. So here I am. Yeah. As long as I don't go bald, I'm all right. Well. Yeah, I don't have much. I'm trying to make it to 30, Pastor. But Paul could not lose track of this marvelous light that he's seen, which was in Christ Jesus. He couldn't get it out of his mind. It changed his whole perspective. It changed his whole person. I mean, because I imagine Paul had some power. He probably had some pull. The dude was smart. The dude was, the people say that he was in the Sanhedrin court, which is kind of like a fancy way of saying that he was like a priest with priests, I guess would be the most easiest way to say it. He was a powerful guy in the Jewish culture. He was a respected guy. Yet, he was still in sin. He did not see the picture clear. He did not have a comprehension of who Jesus Christ was. And when Jesus Christ showed up, everything about what the Jewish religion was at that time took a complete 180 in their eyes. I'm not saying it changed, because the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. It's not an old Bible, new Bible. No, it all points towards Jesus Christ being who he said he was. And that is God manifested in flesh. I'm not trying to get doctrinal and I'm not trying to start talking about Godhead stuff, but I'm here to tell you, if a Jehovah Witness comes to your door, Jesus is more than just your elder brother. He's more than just an ordinary man. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and end. He is personally the author and finisher of my faith. He is the reason I'm here today proclaiming truth and the good news that you too can be delivered from the bondage that has a hold on you. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to sit shackled up to anything. You have the power of life and death on your tongue, just on your tongue. I can't imagine what's on the inside. I tell you what's the inside. The Spirit of Christ is what the Bible says. The Spirit of Jesus. I guess it messed up because it didn't call it the Holy Spirit twice, and that was in Acts. It said the Spirit of Jesus. Woo! Oh, man. Jesus is the ultimate revelation, the ultimate illumination. He is the light of the world. If we can just cast that light, people can see that they are desperate and sin-ridden and they need a Savior. If we can just cast that light, I am convinced that godly sorrow will start entering their heart and changing their very inside and lead them to a place of repentance, a place of turning to God and saying, God, I don't know why I'm here, but I need you. Something's missing in my life. God, I don't understand what's going on, but I need you to move in this situation. God, I don't know why I'm here, but help me, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm closing. I don't know how long I've been. I think Pastor didn't think I was going to be long, which is a good fair point because I didn't know how long I was going to be. But I got one more verse, and I'm going to preach a little bit more. But if the musicians want to come, I told y'all John 8 and 12 was my last verse. I just preached it first to help everybody out. My heart's with y'all. I try to love people because God makes me love people. And that's the most honest way I can say it. I came from a very, my parents loved me and they loved people, but they had a peculiar way of showing it. Peculiar is a peculiar word, if I'm saying it right. But Jesus Christ is the ultimate illumination, the ultimate revelation. John 8 and 12 says, then Jesus spake again unto them saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Man, I don't want to have a dark and gloomy life. Just that imagery alone sounds terrible. Who wants to have a dark and gloomy life? Hey, kids, life's worth living. Let's go pay taxes at Uncle Sam and go to work and die. Woo! That can't be all that's to life. That can't be. There must be something we were made for. There must be something that the earth and all this universe, all this dimension that we exist in came to fruition for us to do. It can't just be to pay taxes and die. It can't be. I refuse to believe that the earth hangs on nothing and is on a 22-degree axis and is if it was an inch too far away from the sun, we would be froze. If it was an inch too close, the atmosphere couldn't have existed because all the water would have went up and life couldn't have existed. I refuse to believe that the design of the earth is so precise and so perfect that there isn't a creator God, that there isn't an entity that wanted us to exist for a reason. Not only do I refuse to believe it, I found something that chose me. I found something that believed me. I found something that chose me, not out of what I've done, but out of what he could do through me. I've been grafted into a vine. I'm not of myself anymore. I don't have my mind. I'm not even the creation I used to be. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Oh, glory. Oh, man, I'm encapsulated with the light, man. I read this in Acts because I was rereading Acts, and, man, it stuck out to me. I was like, man, it is a marvelous light. Jesus is the light of the world. After I read it, I knew it was pressed on me. I knew I wanted to tell people about the light, but Thomas had just preached a sermon about light. And I didn't want to, you know, we're a team, and I didn't want to pull from you. This ain't a lot like your sermon, so that's good. But you can't plagiarize the gospel. If I used every verse he used, it'd have been all right. He didn't write none of them anyway. He don't own them.
There you go.
Thomas, you done an awesome job that night. Man, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a good opportunity to today. If you fell from the wayside, I'm here today to tell you the light's still shining. You can still look. There's still an opportunity for you to come and know him. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. The sound of the trumpet has not sounded. It is not too late. Our God is alive, and he wants you to be grafted in. He wants to use you. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. I'm here today to tell you, you can bring heaven to earth. You can make the word become flesh. Oh, it's up to you. Do you want it? Do you want to gaze on the light, or do you want to cower away from it? Thank God that he let me open my eyes and gaze upon his marvelous light. This world had nothing for me. It couldn't satisfy me, Johnny. It couldn't satisfy me. I thought wrestling was it. And, well, I'm not athletic enough to really be a Olympic wrestler, so I couldn't really get my feeling with it. I won what I wanted to win and said, well, what's next? Thank God godly sorrow in it. It was testimony night. I'm going to testify. I'm going to tell you my conversion story. It's not in the book of Acts, but it's in the book of Dustin. I was 18 years old. 18. That don't make any sense. 18-year-olds are supposed to want to have fun at the beach. I left the beach after being there for 3 days because I was doing stuff I shouldn't have been doing, and something was bothering me on the inside that I didn't like. I didn't want no part of it. I didn't know it then, but it was godly sorrow had entered into my heart. I hadn't heard the gospel for a couple weeks, actually, since I had been at a church. My dad would preach at me a little bit here and there, and he didn't like what I was living, and he'd let me know it. But, man, something just started pulling at me. So I left. And I came, and I knelt down at an altar, and I was like, man, God, I don't understand it. I'm agnostic. I don't even know why I'm doing this. I don't even know what's going on. But I know there's got to be something greater. And, oh, did I get a hold of something greater, something that I can't even elaborate on of how awesome and full of glory and full of righteousness. Oh, let me tell you about how awesome God is, the God who the angels have seen for eternity past. I can't wrap my mind around eternity past, but they've been singing it since eternity past. Holy, holy, holy. Chose me and gave me his holy, holy, holy righteousness so that I could dwell with him. I am begging to you. I am beseeching to you. If you don't understand this, if you've not partook in this, you can have it. You can have it. God gives freely unto you. You can have it. It's free. I'm proclaiming the good news that Jesus came and died. Please come. Please come.